Strange goings on this week in a crucial but obscure market. I'm David Brancaccio. Deep in the second sub-basement of the financial system, a big financial market went haywire this week to the point that the Federal Reserve yesterday had to move $75 billion in to smooth out what is called the repo market. It's not about a repo crew coming to repossess your car. Repos are a massive market for overnight loans. When that market went out of whack on Monday, the Fed even found it tough to keep its main interest rate from drifting off spec. It is a teachable moment. Let's turn to Karen Petrie, True, Managing Partner of Federal Financial Analytics. Good morning.
Morning, David.
What do you do, park some money essentially overnight through these things?
Exactly what you do. The entire global banking and brokerage system uses repos for overnight funding. And what it is essentially like a collateralized overnight loan, and the companies use these to keep themselves afloat. So if at any point the overnight lending market stops going or even just pulls back a bit, companies have a tough time knowing where their money is going to come from.
And indeed, coming into this week, that market got out of whack. There was this, what, surge in demand? Do I have that right for these things?
There was a surge in demand because all of a sudden, the cash that people needed to use with which to fund their repos became suddenly short. There were a number of factors, corporate dividend payments, a settlement due date for the huge issuance of treasury obligations coming due. And all of a sudden, it became harder and harder to find what's called liquidity in the overnight repo market. And so the reason rates went up was that borrowers desperately needed to find somebody to extend them an overnight loan.
Is this a sign? Is this an early scene in a financial horror movie? This is the early cracks of something big?
I don't think so. But there were some day-in, day-out factors. The bond payments, the huge numbers of treasury bills being issued for which the markets had to pay, and several other factors going on. The question remains, why was there such a liquidity scarcity? I think one reason here is the post-crisis rules for banks. One of the ways we made banks safer is we said they couldn't be playing in this market the way they used to. But when you take banks out of a complicated market like this, there is a lot less liquidity in it. And we found that out the hard way earlier this week.
Karen Petrou at Federal Financial Analytics, always good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Now, the Federal Reserve has other fish to fry today. In just about 7 hours, it'll finish up its meeting and let everyone know if it will lower interest rates by perhaps 0.25%. Ahead of that decision, S&P futures are down 0.2%. The benchmark 10-year interest rate is down at 1.77%. You count on Marketplace to help you understand how the economy works and the ways it affects our lives. As a nonprofit news organization, we count on listeners like you to support this kind of journalism and to invest in your own lifelong education. Now, any donation helps, and if you give today, you'll help unlock a $50,000 challenge from the Candida Fund. Become a Marketplace investor at marketplace.org, and thank you. The United Auto Workers Union has singled out General Motors in its strike this week over stalled contract negotiations. For the time being, the Ford and Fiat Chrysler contracts have been extended. In fact, Fiat Chrysler is set to open Detroit's first new auto assembly plant in 3 decades, creating about 5,000 jobs. WDET's Laura Herberg reports from Detroit.
Union workers will get the first crack at the new jobs. Next in line are Detroit residents. If Fiat Chrysler needs workers, only then will the company consider non-union hires living elsewhere. Mike Lackey is the head of talent acquisition for the automaker.
We're basically allowing Detroiters to get in line before we open up the jobs to the general public.
There's no quota on the number of Detroit residents Fiat Chrysler needs to hire to keep its incentives. But to get a good return on its investment, the city is trying to help Detroiters get as many of the jobs as possible.
And if you're ready to get these jobs, let me hear you say, oh yeah!
Fiat Chrysler has agreed to let the city recruit and pre-screen applicants by hosting job fairs like this one. On the agenda for these potential applicants, math.
You will be given 15 minutes to complete the exam that is in front of you.
Actually, it's a practice test designed to prepare applicants for one that Fiat Chrysler will later administer online. After 15 minutes, a city worker goes over the answers.
Which of these boxes on the right does the pattern on the left fold into?
B.
B. A.
The correct answer is C.
Applicants who don't do well can sign up for free tutoring. At the job fairs, the city is also stressing that Fiat Chrysler will be doing drug tests on applicants. Presenter Raven Scott explains that if marijuana is detected, they won't be hired, even though it's legal in Michigan.
If that is your speed, don't do it. Get it out of your system as soon as possible, okay?
Derek Parker lives in Detroit and most recently made his living as a valet. Line workers at Fiat Chrysler make $15 to $30 per hour, and he says that could really help his family out.
I'm a single father of three children, so it would mean a lot for me to have that stability for my household.
The city of Detroit has already rallied more than 10,000 Detroiters like Parker to come out to these job fairs. The city's mayor, Mike Duggan, says other companies are also interested in the applicant pool generated for Fiat Chrysler.
We've now had about 8 or 10 other companies call us.
Auto parts supplier Dakota Integrated Systems, for instance, has agreed to give Detroiters recruited by the city a first shot at job openings. In Detroit, I'm Laura Herberg for Marketplace.
London's FTSE stock index at the moment is up 0.1%. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. This is from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.